Turning our Bibles in this morning to Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1, please. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1. Going to read together from the verse 46. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1. And the Word of God says, Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud. In the imagination of their hearts, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Ending our reading there at the verse 56. Now, already this Christmas season, we've looked into this passage, and we've noted, of course, that this is Mary's response to the message from the angel. How that the Lord had chosen her then to be the earthly mother of the coming Savior, and how that in days to come she would bring forth that child and call his name Emmanuel, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And truly, as we look upon this response by Mary, we note, of course, the thanksgiving that is evident even in the expressions that she makes, for she is truly thankful as she lifts her voice here and proclaims gladness and praise for all that the Lord has done. She marvels that she has been considered worthy. She marvels indeed at the foretelling of that which would come to pass, and how indeed it had already transpired to be so, and how in days to come then the ultimate fulfillment of this message would be experienced and would be known in her own life. And so this Christmas morning we look upon Mary and we note one who is extremely thankful for what God has done and indeed for that which has been bestowed upon her. We use this as a lunch pad really this morning just to consider a theme. For on this day, traditionally it is a day in which many will exchange gifts and presents the one with the other. And there will be that time whenever sitting down in a living room or sitting somewhere in a house, perhaps your own or perhaps a house of another, you will take a gift that has been presented to you and you will unwrap it and you will discover that which is found inside. And surely as we behold all that comes to us at Christmas time, all that is purchased for us, all that is given for us, we rejoice indeed at the kindness of those who bestow such gifts and who give such presents. But perhaps there's been a time whenever a gift has been unwrapped and a sense of disappointment has been experienced. Perhaps there's been an anticipation that you would receive something other than what you're holding in your hands at that very moment. Perhaps already today you've noted the disappointment of one whom you purchased a gift for. And so this morning I want to speak upon this theme just for a few moments. The theme of when you don't get what you want. When you don't get what you want. Now, materialistically, in our world, we're obsessed, of course, with where things are bought or how things are made. And so, generally speaking, those who experience disappointment at this time of year, and I'm speaking not about you specifically, I'm talking about the larger world in which we live, the generation in which we find ourselves, there will, of course, be disappointment upon the faces and indeed in the words expressed by those who receive gifts from their friends and from their family. Perhaps it's because as they unwrap the gift, they discover that it's from Primark and not Prada. Perhaps they were wanting Gucci, but instead they got George at Asda. And perhaps Burberry was on the list, but Burton's was where the gift was purchased. Or perhaps it's Cool Water instead of Chanel. But whatever the case may be, we all identify that we are very materialistically driven in the world in which we live. And so many will find disappointment simply because that gift doesn't measure up to their expectations, nor indeed their desires. But as we come to consider this theme, not getting what we want when we don't get what we want, we must be reminded that we are not to be off this world. That we are not to find our sense of satisfaction or joy in the things that are to be found in this world. And so whilst undoubtedly as we receive gifts from one another and as we unwrap those gifts to discover what's inside, we find excitement, we find joy, we're thankful, perhaps at times disappointed by all that we've bought, you and I must always be careful not to fall into the trap that so many others fall into. For we must, even in such matters as the opening of presents, consider our response in light of what the Bible teaches us in regards to thanksgiving, in regards to contentment, in regards to even receiving that which we do not deserve. And so I suggest to you that when you don't get what you want, the Bible reminds us that as a believer, we must, number one, cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. You know, we all know what it is to give things, perhaps unto children, perhaps unto others, and never receive a word of thanks in return. Many there have been who have exchanged gifts or done a great deed for someone outside of their family, perhaps, or even within their family, and never heard that word thank you in return. The Bible reminds us that that is not to be so in the life and the experience of a believer. Rather, we are, as Paul reminds us, to know the reality of being content in whatever state we are found. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And this is written at a time in Paul's life whenever he's reflecting on life. Whenever much of his life has been lived, whenever the bitter experiences of life are remembered, and whenever the thankful experiences, those times when he's been blessed, those times whenever his heart is rejoiced, they are remembered also. But Paul writes as a learned man, as a wise man, he writes and he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Contentment. 1 Timothy in the chapter 6, in the verse 6, Paul writing again in the final days, final months of his life and imparting advice to a younger man, he writes these words and says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Writing to a young man, Timothy, and he says, as much as you desire this, as much as you would have that, remember that in life, contentment. And that contentment, when it's matched, when it's married together with a godly spirit, with a godly attitude, that is holiness, that is a likeness to Christ, that is living in a way which is acceptable to God and obedience to His Word, if that is found in your life, then you've gained much more than this world could ever afford. Hebrews chapter 13, in the verse 5, the writer of the Hebrews says, be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so at times whenever you don't get what you want, as a believer, the word of God reminds us, cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. This morning I wonder, have you said thank you to those who invest heavily in your life, to those who take the time to care for your soul, to watch over the spiritual direction in your life? Have you said thank you to the faithful Sunday school teacher, to the faithful youth leader? Have you said thank you to the faithful elders in this assembly for all of their labor in seeking to guide and direct the affairs of this church in a way which honors God, in a way which is most befitting to you and to your family? Cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Thankfulness doesn't come easy, and it certainly doesn't come naturally. That's why it must be worked at, and it must be a deliberate decision on our part to be thankful, to be content with what God blesses us with, and indeed the place where He puts us in. Not only, number one, cultivate a spirit of thankfulness when you don't get what you want, but number two, trust the heart of the giver. It's very easy to get a present wrong. I speak from experience. You can think you've got it all cracked. The code has been cracked. You've picked up on all of the hints and the suggestions throughout the year. And there it is, all wrapped up. And the new vacuum cleaner doesn't cut it. But the reality is that no matter what gift you're holding in your hand, especially at a birthday, especially at Christmas time, I suggest to you that more often than not, it's given from someone who has a heart of love for you. And yes, they may have got it wrong in the moment, and yes, it may not have lived up to every expectation that you had as the day approached or as the time approached, but nevertheless, in that moment, I suggest that we do well to trust the heart of the giver. You know, as you look back in this year, has something disappointed you? Has something not quite worked out the way that you hoped that it would? As 2022 dawned and you sat there and pondered in your heart all that you'd like to see accomplished, all that you'd like to enter into, all you'd like to achieve, has there been something along the journey of life in this calendar year that has brought disappointment? Could it be that you need to this morning remind yourself of the truth that we looked at before this Christmas season started? That no matter the ups and downs in life, whate'er my God ordains is right. He has a heart that loves you. Nothing comes into your life by chance. All things are according to His will. And with His will comes the promise of grace, strength, and His never-failing presence. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He goes on to say in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call on to me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We've often said it in the Bible class. But yes, even in those times whenever you cannot identify His hand, you can always trust His heart, because God is a God who loves you. When you don't get what you want, cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Trust the heart of the giver. But thirdly and finally, recognize that it's not about what you want. Recognize that it's not about what you want. Rather, it's about what you need. We come back to the beginning of our Bibles and we read a story there of Adam and Eve. A time whenever a fruit was upon a tree. They looked upon that fruit and they desired it. It was a good fruit, an appealing fruit, and the voice of the serpent was ringing in their ears as Eve offered it to Adam, and that voice reminded them if they simply partook of that fruit, then they would be as gods, able to discern between good and evil. That's what they wanted. But was that fruit what they needed? Not at all. Because that fruit brought death. It ushered sin into the world and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men. We come forward in our Bibles and we think of David. And there he is, beholding a beautiful woman upon a rooftop. And yes, she's another man's wife, but oh, he desires her. And he thinks that if he simply would have her, then he would know happiness. He'd know contentment. But Bathsheba, despite the person she may have been, the reality is when David got her, it only brought shame, tragedy, misery, heartache. Oh, he wanted her. But it certainly wasn't what he needed. You think of Haman. He desired position, influence. But he lost his life. Brought death. Jeremiah reminds us, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Our wants are so often rooted in our pride and our selfish and our self-centered desires. And very often, that which we want is never what we need. But aren't you thankful that today we are reminded in this Christmas time of God sending His only Son into the world to meet our greatest need? Because there, upon an old rugged cross, He made a way that we might be reconciled unto God. There, upon that cross, Christ died for the ungodly. There, upon that cross, He met our need and now offers unto all who will believe the greatest gift that can ever be known. And you might say this morning, well, I don't want salvation. I don't want eternal life. I don't want God. But remember, it's not about what you want. It's about what you need. I wonder this morning, will you accept of the gift that is offered unto you in the gospel if you know not Christ? Will you turn and seek the Lord? If you don't get what you want today, cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Trust the heart of the giver. And remember, it's not about what you want. It's about what you need. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. rejoice indeed and all that our hearts have been able to enter into this day as we've come together in thy sight. We're thankful for the praise of our hearts as we can lift our voices to thee. We're thankful, Lord, for all that we've been reminded of in thy word, even the fulfillment in time of the promises of God and how even a story is given to us in the gospel records. We're thankful, Father, that the appointed time he came and the appointed way he came. The appointed time he died and the appointed way he died. We're thankful, Father, there is an appointed time now to seek the Savior. There is an appointed way. It's coming by the door that all may enter in. So, Father, we pray that for those amongst us who know not thee, there would be even that stirring in the heart. There would be that wooing. There would be that calling. There would be that responding even to the invitation. And for all of us, O Lord, help us to rejoice in the goodness of God. And how, O Lord, our lives are blessed beyond measure because of all that thou hast done for us and all that thou hast given to us. Help us ever to be thankful. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.